As anyone who's ever tried to reach a level of cosmic experience that transcends the mundane confines of reality in favor of a higher plane of existential perception can tell you, it's quite a process. One that requires the investment of time and energy. Because if what you decide you want is a really good look at the really big picture, the first thing you gotta do is escape the pull of gravity. Though relaxation is a learnable skill that may from time to time be enhanced by the consensual participation of others, you're always going to come across people who, despite your best efforts, may never understand what the hell you're talking about. No matter how hard you try to explain who you are and what you're doing, and no matter how many times they say, "I see," not only do they not see, they haven't quite yet figured out how to open their eyes. It was about 1:30 in the afternoon on day 4 of our journey. We'd made what did turn out to be the Santa Fe turnaround, and we're now headed in a southeasterly direction on Highway 285 toward Clovis, New Mexico, another town in the middle of nowhere, hard by the western border of the Texas Panhandle. "Do you think they understood?" my pal Tony Rico said as we pulled out of Santa Fe. "What do you mean?" I said. "Do you think they understood our road trip concept?" he asked. "Do you think they understood what we're doing?" "Understanding is a nebulous concept," I said. "A quality, if you will, that's easy to profess, but hard to really achieve. I mean, just look at us. We've been at this process going on 4 solid days, spending a lot of time and energy in an effort to open our eyes and minds, trying to burn away some of the fog that clouds our cosmic vision, hoping we can maybe get a handle on the big picture. But to say that we understand what's going on, I don't know. But if what you're asking is, what do I think as far as they're concerned? Clueless." Tony turned the wheel about a tenth of a degree to miss a box turtle ambling its way across the road and laughed. Not a deep belly laugh, not a chuckle, but that high-pitched kind of giggle of his that comes out when you've hit him with something he wasn't expecting. "Clueless?" he said, looking at me like I'd just wet my pants. "Look," I said, "I told them we were going to Clovis, and they said, 'Why are you going to Clovis?'" "'Cause it's on the way," I said. "On the way where?" they asked. "On the way to where we're going," I said. "Well, where are you going?" they said. And pal, all I could do was point toward the desert and say, "That-a-way," because I just didn't want to try to explain the whole thing again. Tony liked that one, too. The remembrance of that last Santa Fe exchange with our hosts and the entourage we'd happened to gather during the previous night's festivities bring to mind relaxation lesson number 4. Perhaps not really so much a lesson as it is a tip. And the tip is this. No matter how hard you try to avoid it, there are some people you will encounter in this world who are just going to say black every time you say white. If you head left, they are going to want you to go right. But the good news is, when one of those folks commences to badmouth somebody or something or some place, you can be pretty sure that you are going to find a lot to like about the object of their derision. We were on our way to Clovis to see if that was right. It was about 6 p.m. on a gorgeous August evening when we arrived, which means we'd spent about 4.5 hours absorbing the experience of travel, though unfortunately the Billy the Kid Museum and Gravesite had been closed, and to my great satisfaction, even Tony Rico had gotten into the spirit of the process. Perhaps a little too into it. For as I said, this was day 4 in our journey, which meant that for coming up on 96 hours, we'd pushed our bodies and our minds to the limits of their endurance, just to get a peek at precisely where the edge was. By the time we got to Clovis, we'd found it. Although it didn't take the form of an edge so much as it did a wall. And we hit it. We were busted, bull-whipped, and brain dead. Caffeine, nicotine, too much fun, and too little sleep had taken their toll. So after driving through town, scanning our options for overnight accommodations, we found ourselves unfit to make a decision. Perhaps any decision. And instead, pulled in at the Boot Hill Lounge on the far east edge of town. We ordered one each of our favorite beverage and collapsed at an isolated table. Actually, there were plenty of isolated tables to choose from, as the Boot Hill Lounge was a big place. Big dance floor, big bandstand. Looked as though they had live music in there most nights and were capable of accommodating a big crowd. But right now, there were just three cowboys, one waitress, and a fat bartender in Big Smith's and a t-shirt, covied up around a pool table, which left us alone to wallow quietly in the squalor of our exhaustion. As we sat there, feeling like a couple sacks full of dead earthworms, listening to the strains of some guitar twanging my woman done me wrong yodeler on the jukebox, I took a moment to reflect on our new geographic position. For we were no longer among the obviously open-minded anything's okay with me surroundings of Santa Fe, but rather had entered the heart of cowboy country, where perhaps more traditional mores held sway. Rico, I said as I looked across the table at my glassy-eyed pal, something has just occurred to me. Huh? Was about all he could muster. It occurs to me, I said, that we are getting into that part of the country where my earring might not be viewed in the same accepting fashion as it has been heretofore. Now, I'm telling you this so you can be prepared just in case a couple of these cowboys come up to you somewhere along the line, tap you on the shoulder, and say, "Why don't you and your sister get the hell out of here?" It's amazing how restorative the power of laughter can be. Because that single mental image peeled us off the wall, put us back on our feet, and back in flight for about another 2 hours. We grabbed some generic Mexican food at a place called KT's, conveniently located next door to the Boot Hill, and checked into the Days Inn, conveniently located next door to KT's. Day four, 6 days out, 1 day back, had mercifully come to an end. And Clovis? I don't know that we got the big picture on Clovis, but I do know this, that at least for a couple hours, we definitely escaped the pull of gravity. And for my money, there ain't nothing wrong with Clovis or any place else, if you're looking at it from the right point of view.
Join us next time for day five of 6 days out, 1 day back, a road trip.